1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Christina, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Thank you for having me.
Christina, this is going to be a painful conversation. There's no point in pretending it's not, and there's no point in pussyfooting around it. So can we just get straight into it? How many hours had the man who killed your son been drinking?
He has been drinking from approximately 2:30 p.m. or 3 p.m. The day previous until literally a very short time before the crash happened, and he had also taken cocaine.
And where was your son going?
My son, Brendan, God bless him, was travelling to the airport in Cork alongside his very, very dear friend, Lee, who was 26 years of age, and their two partners at the time, to catch a flight to Amsterdam just to take a four-day break. Lee and Kate were celebrating the birth of their little daughter, who was only basically 5 months old at the time. And Brendan was celebrating the fact that he, at 24, was able to move into his first new house. And he was very proud of that. Thought it was just a little break and a little celebration and to take in the sights.
And how bad was the crash?
It was a horrific crash that took place. Brendan and Lee died instantly. It was very, very bad.
Were they in the front and the two girls were in the back?
My son Brendan was front seat passenger alongside his girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
And Lee was directly behind him with his fiancée, Kate.
And the driver of the other car then, this man who'd been drinking since 3 in the afternoon and doing cocaine, he didn't hang around?
No, he left the scene and he didn't call for help. And he absconded up the back roads. And he was caught 7 miles approximately by the Gardaí, who are out, you know, in droves, search parties, because finding an empty vehicle as well, a very long distance up the road where his Mondeo had stopped after the impact, they were actually searching to see if somebody had been, you know, killed and in a ditch. They were searching for an injured party. But no, he was caught, and he denied at first that he was driving the vehicle. And then when he was told that he'd left two fine young men dead on the side of the road and two girls trapped in an horrific wreckage, he also said that he wasn't the driver, but then admitted, yes, that he had been driving the car.
And tell me about how you got the news.
I got the news, it's a call I will never ever forget. I got the call from Middleton Gardaí, and they had to break the news to me over the phone because I just recently moved. And they were genuinely knocking at my old address. Uh-huh. So it was a genuine error. And the only way they could get hold of me was on the phone. And they simply had to tell me what had happened.
And did you think that was fair enough? Because, I mean, there's no point in a guard really ringing you up and then saying, can you tell us where you are so we can come to you?
They had genuinely been knocking on my old address. I'd only moved literally 2 weeks prior to that, and it was in a country area. So it was very hard to find. It was a genuine error. It wasn't a mistake, you know, on the side of the Gardaí. And they had to tell me over the phone that there had been a crash. And I will never forget the words when they told me that Brendan was dead. And I just screamed and screamed down the phone. I just fell to my knees shouting no.
Oh, God.
And I could not take in what they were telling me. I genuinely thought that when I sort of first heard Middleton Gardaí, the first thing that goes through a mother's mind is, oh, my God. Instantly I thought Brendan must have left his passport at home or something like that. You know, that
something trivial, I know.
Something exactly, or his wallet or anything. And, you know, that's how a mother would think. You know,
describe that physical sensation to me. I mean, it's obviously it's more than just the sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach or the blood draining from your body. What happens? What physically did you undergo?
The only way I can describe this, and I've said it before, it was like an out of body experience. I just could not take in. My mouth was dry. I was shaking. I was shaking from head to toe. And my first port of call as well, I thought, was because my son Sean was staying with his girlfriend, his now fiancé, in Waterford, about 4 miles from where I was. And I kept thinking, how in the name of God am I going to go and tell Brendan's brother that he's dead? Because Sean had waved him off on holiday only a few hours before that. And they were having a banter about, you know, Brendan taking off for a break and Sean not going anywhere. And, you know, I will never, ever forget when the Gardaí arrived and they had to take me into where Sean was. I mean, Sean, absolutely, he was white as a sheet. He was hyperventilating. He had to go to the hospital.
Oh,
it was just a horrific time.
So you're not only dealing with the loss, but you're also trying to protect your other children as well.
I was desperately trying to protect Sean because, I mean, it was always, we used to have a nickname, like Three Musketeers. And, you know, we were, I was single mum for years and it was always the three of us. And I genuinely mean this. It's not just hearsay. We had such a close bond. We really were, I could talk to the boys about anything and vice versa.
Am I correct in thinking then that you're coming up on the fifth anniversary of Brendan's death now then?
We're coming up. I actually passed it this morning twice because I was down in Cork this morning actually. And I couldn't pass on the way down because I was in a desperate hurry to get where I was going this morning. And I had to be there on time, stopped on the way back. And it's still when I see that name, Brendan Donnelly, you know, on a memorial plaque alongside Lee's name, his lovely, lovely friend who died that night also. And I just see Brendan's name on a plaque and I still look and I think it is so wrong. You had your whole life ahead of you. You just did not deserve to die like this, and either did Lee.
3 years and 8 months.
Yes.
That was what the man driving the other car got then.
He was sentenced to 5 years.
But he served 3 years.
Oh, and he served 3 years and 8 months for the two boys. Approximately, you could say, 15 months each. That's what their lives were worth. But that's the law in this country, you see. This is what the Brendan's Law Road Safety Campaign is all about. You know, the three main objectives of the campaign. And, you know, this is just my opinion, you know. Irish law is substantially inferior, you know, to other countries, where entirely appropriate penalties reflecting the enormity of offences are in place as effective deterrents. And, you know, successive governments in Ireland also, with all the good work that has been done, you know, they have collectively, you know, not all of the people involved, but 80% of them, you know, they have let families down, you know, because there are criminals serving longer sentences in our prisons for non-fatal offences. Non-fatal offences than those being served by killer drunk drivers.
So tell me, what specific points in the law do you want to see change?
The three main objectives of Brendan's Law Road Safety Campaign, which Brendan's Law is on Facebook, and it has had nearly 5,500, you know, hits on it and messages from all over the country and all over the world. And there are three main objectives. And objective one is, and I've spoken to so many people on this, including, you know, people in official capacities, from Garda Síochána to councillors, and particularly to bereaved families. So I'm simply a voice for my son, and I speak on behalf of every bereaved family in this country.
Uh-huh. And what is the first measure then that you want?
The first objective of Brendan's Law is that when a driver has been arrested and brought to a Garda station after being caught with being over the legal limit of alcohol or drugs also being a contributing factor, and where a preventable road crash has occurred and there has been a fatality or fatalities due to his actions, then that driver, which is still the law in Ireland at the moment, you know, the car is impounded, the key is impounded, but the driver can leave the Garda station and resume driving until such time as he appears before a judge in a court of law. Now, I have to specify very strongly, we are talking about presumption of innocence, mm-hmm. and we are not talking about a punishment to that driver until all collective evidence is there.
No, no, but we do. I see where you're going with this, because we do arrest people on suspicion of having committed
yes.
criminal offences, and we hold yes. them on remand until
yes.
such time as
yes.
their court case comes up. So what you're really looking for here is an equivalent in the event of somebody having been killed in a road
yes.
traffic accident of their licence being taken away from them until such time as they are proven innocent.
I personally feel, and after speaking to so many parents that have been fighting for justice and have been served injustice because of the draconian law that we still have in this country of ours, that if you kill somebody, if you take a life or lives, and you have been over the legal limit of alcohol, you know, boozed up to the eyeballs and get into a car, and you take innocent lives because of your actions and your selfish, mm-hmm. selfish actions, that driver, whoever he or she may be, they lose their privilege to get into a car again. I mean, if somebody goes out, God forbid, hypothetically speaking, and they shoot somebody and they take a life or lives with a shotgun,
you don't give them the gun
they
back.
They don't get their gun back.
No.
And
obviously this person has proven that they have most likely got ongoing issues with drink and with drugs.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's point number one. What's point number two?
Point number two is, because of the sentencing laws in this country, and again, I knew nothing about the law legislation. I was just and am an ordinary everyday mum who had to sort of learn as she has gone along and try and cross the T's and dot the I's. So I'm not for one moment, you know, pretending that I know all of this. I'm learning. I'm still learning. And it's from listening to other families also. And objective number two of the Brendan's Law Road Safety Campaign is that there must be, and it has to be looked at, a mandatory sentencing in this country, in our courts where fatality has occurred. There must be mandatory sentencing of 6 to 9 years without any recourse to the courts for automatic remission for good behaviour. They must serve that 6 years and not a day less.
There's a problem there, though, Christina, because once you take discretion away from judges, you can end up in the area of injustices. I mean, look, if you don't mind, let me just... We'll leave Brendan's case aside, OK, and I'll just construct a completely different hypothetical. Let's say you and I are both out on the road driving and I'm steaming drunk and I cause a crash... And I crash into you and I kill myself in that crash, okay?
Yes.
But nobody's going to take my blood alcohol limit because I'm dead at that stage. And let's say you have been drinking as well and you're over the limit by a milligram or two and you've had a glass of wine and you did not cause the crash, and it can be proven through CCTV or whatever that you did not cause the crash. Is it fair that you would, in that case, get 6 years, because my death has been my fault? You know, that's one of those instances, isn't it, where a judge should have discretion to say, no, hang on a second, maybe the mandatory sentence, maybe the full sentence isn't suitable here.
Yes, but, you know, and I know it's an extremely sensitive subject to be speaking of, but I mean, it has to be addressed because it's happening even as we speak now. I'm sure that some family is getting that call and the knock on the door. And, you know, it's very hard to digest also that, you know, when there have been fatalities, we'll say in relation to my son, because I don't want for one moment to sort of regurgitate bad memories for any other family that may be listening, but they are tested for to see if they have been drinking, you know, even though they are dead on arrival at the hospital. You know, mm-hmm. and, you know, they are tested to see if they have been drinking. But I mean...
The point I'm making is that in that hypothetical situation, I couldn't be punished because I would be dead. You would be the only person who could be punished, and you were legally over the limit, but in no other respects to blame.
Did you mean that you would have been the driver?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then it is up to the court, I believe, in those circumstances. And I know, actually, of incidents very exactly the same, that from other families that this has happened to. And then the families have to go, to have to find that inner strength to be the voice of their mm-hmm. loved one. Because if that if and when that scenario has happened, then that driver, though they may be no longer with us, they are responsible for the death of another human being. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they have to they have to fight in the courts and to see, you know, what is going to happen.
Let's talk
in
about the
let's talk about the
third recommendation you want to see.
The third recommendation is, and I firmly believe, is a mandatory disqualification of 25 years to life, depending on the case, but 25 years disqualification from driving. And also, when the offender is released from prison, he or she must resit a compulsory driving test before being allowed back on the road. And where alcohol or drugs or both have been a contributory factor to causing fatalities of innocent victims, that they must attend a rehabilitation unit for drug and alcohol awareness. Uh-huh. And they can have spot checks, advanced notification or urine samples at the local guard station or health board.
Where they have caused a fatality in the past. Okay.
Exactly.
Just to prove that they're still on the level. Because at the moment, yes. I suppose, once you've done your time, that's it. But the issues that gave rise to you being that inebriated and behind the wheel in the first place could still well be there. So you're making a very sensible suggestion there.
Exactly. And when you were speaking there about scenarios, when you think about it, in the case of, we would say, any driver, has taken a life or lives and has been well over the legal limit of alcohol when charged, and they're allowed to resume driving until such time as they appear before a judge. Again, we're talking presumption of innocence.
Yeah.
Who is to say, and I have to admit, I don't have the statistics with me at the moment, but I am going to furnish those before I go to Dublin tomorrow to Leinster House. But who is to say that driver can and will resume drinking because perhaps maybe due to shock or guilt or whatever, ease the pain?
And who are you meeting in Leinster House tomorrow, Christina?
Tomorrow, I've had tremendous support from Councillor John Halligan, John Halligan here in Waterford. Mm-hmm. And through his hard work, you know, we have got as far as Leinster House. John will be speaking to ministers and in the Dáil tomorrow, and he will be putting the question to them in relation to trying to reduce the amount of fatalities on the road because of the objectives of Brendan's Law Road Safety Campaign and the three main objectives of it, but particularly objective number one. And, we are seeking, you know, legal advice on that as well, because it does need legal advice.
Yeah.
But to me, it's black and white. And not long before you called me there, I got a phone call to say that, you know, hopefully, yes, and I will be meeting with the Minister for Transport, you know, after the session has finished in the Dáil tomorrow, to be able to speak to him and hopefully other TDs, so that I can, you know, speak to them as a mother and as a human being on behalf of mm-hmm. all bereaved mm-hmm. families, and to say, you know, this is, you know, mm-hmm. That I've heard every excuse possible in the past. And, you know, the time for change is long overdue. You know, it really is, because we are very lax in our laws here in Ireland. And I'm only speaking for myself, but that we are far too lax in Ireland. And we have to come in line with other EU countries.
Yeah. Do you miss Brendan?
I miss Brendan. I'm actually looking at his photograph here as I speak to you. Brendan was one of the finest young men you could possibly wish to meet, and Brendan would leave an impact on you with his total humility and his loveliness. He was such a kind and gentle young man, and he was so stable, and he was highly intelligent young man and was brilliant at his media studies. But he was just so kind, and I miss him desperately. I miss him desperately, you know.
And what are your feelings now towards the man who took his life?
Would you believe if I told you I have no room for bitterness? I have no room for bitterness. I'm focused. I'm very angry that Brendan was taken in such a way. And, you know, his friend was taken in such a way because as a mother, and I'm being 100% honest on this, he did not deserve to die on the side of the road like that through somebody else's actions and inactions. He did not deserve it, and either did Lee. And, you know, those two boys had their whole life ahead of them. They had so much, and little Sasha was left without her dad.
But is it that you have enough grief in your heart to be dealing with without taking on the bitterness as well, that you're just...
I have no room for bitterness because, you know, the only emotion I feel in relation to that is I'm angry that Brendan is not with me and Sean misses his brother so much. Oh my God, he misses him so much. Sometimes he can't even talk about it. He can't talk about it. But you can see it in his face. We really miss him. And for example, Brendan's birthday, for example, was in May. And I genuinely can tell you, I'm looking still at the birthday cards that we put up beside Brendan's picture. We always buy him his birthday cards. We buy him his Christmas cards. On his anniversary, you know, we did a skydive last year, the two of us, because Brendan was going to do that for Down syndrome. So we did that as one of his little bucket lists. We released doves the year prior to that for peace in the memory garden in Compassionate Friends in New Ross. We're always trying to do something positive for Brendan. He was the most gorgeous guy, and everybody, he was just a gentleman, and I mean that. Brendan would do exactly the same thing had the situation been reversed. Brendan was a stickler for principles, and I suppose I never for one moment dreamt that this was the path I'd have to take in my life and speak about my fine son and a brother in past tense. But, you know, it's kept me focused. And
there is no truer cliche than there is.
And I know that all of these objectives are doable. Yeah. I really do. And as long as I'm here, I will keep this in the limelight. And with the help of God, you know, with the help of the Irish people behind us, we will reach our goal.
Well, good luck tomorrow in the Dáil. And
thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that.
Not at all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll read in the coming days whether she's actually had any success or not. Christina Donnelly, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Richie, hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, how's it going?
You were just listening to Christina there. You have a suggestion of the law change that you'd like to see.
Yes, in America, they have a crime there called vehicular manslaughter. It's like you were saying about not giving a gun to a person who committed a firearms offence. Well, you're handing a person the keys, which is almost, it's giving him control of a vehicle. And if the person has any alcohol in him at all and he causes an accident, there should be the crime, like in America, of vehicular manslaughter, which is basically like manslaughter or murder. If you have a regular occurrence with drink, well, obviously you have a serious problem, and that would be the equivalent almost of murder. If you give them the keys of a car and you let them drive, like if he's up on a drink-driving offence and he goes out and commits it again, well, then there should be the equivalent of what they have in the States, the vehicular manslaughter.
But we have, don't we, the charge of dangerous driving causing death and drink driving causing death. What would be the difference?
Well, manslaughter is manslaughter. It's the equivalent of, you know, there's manslaughter and murder. But causing a death seems to give you a couple of months prison or, you know, a year, 2-3 years, whatever. But if you had the equivalent of manslaughter or murder charges, the whatever the sentence is for that, the 15 years, whatever, it would be a definite incentive. And then when they come out, do not give them the keys again, lifetime ban.
The thing here is, really, that it's a change of attitudes that we need to see. How do you do that?
Ooh, a change of attitude in Ireland, that's a touchy subject. Yeah.
Because, I mean, as we've seen in the past, you know, increasing sentences doesn't necessarily actually act as a deterrent to a crime.
Well, there's part of the problem then, because it always seems to be the victim who has to suffer and not the person who perpetrates the crime. No matter what the crime is, the sentences are too lenient and too small, and you'll always have the rights crowd giving out about whatever the conditions in prison or people being sent to prison, whatever. But I think if you do the crime, you should do the time. And if you are going to come out and commit something so serious as to take away a young life due to your own carelessness, whatever, well, then I think that there should be something done about it. And I know that people will come along.
Hang on, maybe we're being a little bit too grim here, because the road fatality figures year on year do continue to go down. Now, the first half of this year, they went up a little bit again. But as far as I understand, we are, in terms of where we were last year, which was the lowest year ever on record.
But at the same time, one is still one too many.
Of course it is. But you know what? We're never going to have zero fatalities on the road.
No.
And the fact of the matter is that we are reducing those numbers. So maybe the message is getting through. Maybe we are changing our ways.
Well, no, I don't think we really are. I think it's a lot of it could be the fact that people are just either maybe, yes, they are being a little bit more careful, or now maybe with the recession, more people are on bicycles, whatever, there are fewer cars seemingly stirring around. I know of an awful lot of people around here who are starting to use bicycles. So maybe there's less cars on the road, and the fact that there would be less motoring offences because of, it's just like less social welfare because more people have immigrated. Well, if all these people have immigrated, well, then there is going to be less cars around on the road. But I do think that the law is too lenient, the sentences are too lenient, and if anything is too lenient at all, well, then the crimes are going to be committed. I mean, take the death sentence, for instance. I'm all for it. I mean, to be honest, to be up and straight about it, if a crime is committed, it would be the ultimate deterrent. But at the same time,
doesn't work, Richie. Doesn't work. Shown time and time again that where you have the death penalty, it has proven no deterrent to crime, to capital crime whatsoever. And America's prisons are just stuffed with people that committed crimes for which the punishment was the death penalty, and they are there. And would be there anyway, even if the law was different.
Oh, I do agree, and there will be miscarriages of justice, like Christie and Evans over in England and stuff, and it's hard to say to some guy you've executed, oh, we made a mistake. But at the same time, look at how many cases in Ireland where people have been out on bail and have either committed another murder or serious offences when they should have. I think remand should be remanded.
That's a different thing altogether, though. I mean,
that is a different thing, admittedly. But as like the lady said, if someone can be given the keys to drive home from the petrol station from a drink-driving offence or a drink-driving murder, well, then where is the penalty? Do you know what I mean? Okay, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. But at the same time, if, like that lady there, that somebody could be allowed to just go out tomorrow, go on Dundee, get another car while they're waiting to go up in court and still drive around, well, then there's still the possibility of him committing another drink-driving offence and possibly killing somebody else.
Okay. Richie, thank you very much.